Good morning. It's 8 o'clock, Monday, June 14th, and you're listening to WAIF Cincinnati, 88.3 FM. Good morning and welcome to the Master Gardener Hour, the shortest hour in radio. Good morning, this is John Duke. I'll be your host until 9 o'clock. My guests today are Master Gardeners Diane and Jack Klassen, who are deeply involved in a major gardening program called America in Bloom. We'll talk about some timely garden topics and tell an entertaining story or two. I also have my friend Bibby Terry, who's also a Master Gardener, here in the studio to help out this morning. And we'll get to them in just a minute. WAIF, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed during the Master Gardener Hour do not reflect the views of WAIF, its staff, or Board of Trustees. The opinions expressed reflect my own views or the views of my guests, which may change at any moment. It is now 4 minutes after 8, and you're listening to WAIF Cincinnati, 88.3 FM, the real stepchild radio, what radio is meant to be. My theme music for the show was Coconuts on the CD Nature's Bounty by Mystical Moods. If you have any comments or suggestions or gardening questions, we invite you to write us or call us at the station. Send your letters to WAIF FM, 1434 East McMillan Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45206, or call us at 513-749-1444. During the show, you can call the studio line, which is just what I said, 749-1444. Before we get started, I'd like to thank our underwriter for today's show. Today's show is brought to you in part by Green Space, a gallery for the garden, located inside Urban Eden, a little bit of paradise in Over the Rhine. These two wonderful shops for furnishings inside your home and now inside your garden are open Wednesday through Saturday, noon to 6. Come visit and catch the new cicada table coverings from Provence, France, and view this month's feature artist, Bates Webster, with her metal sculpture for the garden. The Green Space Grand Opening will take place at this month's final Friday Gallery Walk on North Main Street, June 25th, from 6 until 10 p.m. Urban Eden and Green Space are located at 1313 Main Street in downtown Cincinnati. Their phone numbers are 513-624-0333 or 621-3336. Okay. I'd like to get to our guests now. Good morning, Diane and Jack.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us. Welcome to the show. I'm sure you'll bring a lot of good information that people want to hear about. Why don't you just start off and tell us about what America in Bloom is all about?
Well, America in Bloom is a nonprofit 501c3 organization. We encourage nationwide beautification programs, and we do this with a friendly competition among participating communities of similar sizes. So what we have is actually a competition in the summer where communities sign up and compete against each other in 8 different areas. And I'll give you those areas, or Diane will. Go ahead.
In the 8 areas that we're looking at in communities are the tidiness of the community, floral arrangements, landscaped areas, turf and ground cover, the amount of community involvement, environmental awareness, heritage conservation, and urban forestry. And what's unique about this program, too, is that we're not only looking at what the municipality and the public properties are doing, but we're also looking at what the commercial sector is contributing and what the residents are contributing.
Where did the how did this get started? Where did these 8 criteria come from and all that?
Well, these types of programs have been very popular in Europe for a number of years, actually over 50 years.
Oh.
There's a Britain in Bloom program that started in 1963. And this year, they have 1,400 communities involved.
Wow.
In the Britain in Bloom program. And that what they do there is look at landscaping, the environment, and community involvement. And the goals of Britain in Bloom are civic pride, volunteerism, and tourism.
Okay.
There's another program called Tidy Towns of Ireland, and they have 700 communities involved this year. That program has been in existence more than 50 years. And in France, they have a very large program where everyone is eligible to join, and there's no cost, and the government sponsors this, and there are 11,000 local councils,
wow,
city councils,
yeah,
that actually are involved in the program. And they look at trees, shrubs, and flowers, and they're awarded a bloom rating or a flower rating from 1 to 4 flowers. So those programs have been involved for a long time, in existence for a long time. And then about 10 years ago in Canada, some folks were thinking about the programs in Europe and decided to develop a program in Canada. And they started out with 29 communities the first year, and now they have over 500 in Canada this year.
Okay.
And
it's growing pretty fast.
It's growing real fast.
Yeah.
And then
about 3 years ago, there were some people in the United States that experienced the Canadian program and thought, why don't we bring this to the United States? So the Canadians actually have been helping us get this program started here for the first 3 years, and we've modeled our initial America in Bloom program after their program. So.
Okay, but how many communities are involved now?
This year we have 36 communities involved. We had the first year 34, second year 36, and this is our third year, and we have 36.
Okay. Well, so can if a community starts, can they compete year after year after year? Or
absolutely, and that's what we would like to see.
To keep it going.
Because
yeah,
that's what happens when you have 1,400 communities in Britain in Bloom. Many of those communities have been in the program for a number of years.
Yeah.
It's not just win the competition
and then
drop out, or not win and drop out, but we're trying to encourage communities to continually improve and join the program over a number of years.
Yeah. Well, now, for America in Bloom, for our program here, how is funding handled? The government doesn't do that.
No, it's privately funded through the horticulture industry. The large greenhouse growers contribute some money. Everyone involved in America in Bloom is a volunteer. The president, the board of directors, everyone is a volunteer.
Just like WAIF.
We still need some money
To
function.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
Large greenhouse growers, we're real thrilled this year. We just signed up Scott's as a major sponsor.
That's good. Yeah.
That's just in the last couple of months. So I think we've got a good future now that we've gotten some solid backing from the horticulture industry.
Okay, so now you've got a group of judges too that
Yes, all the judges
score,
are volunteers.
I guess is a proper word.
Well, the judges are directors of botanical gardens,
okay,
garden writers, a lot of county extension agents.
And, of course, they're probably honored to participate in that.
Oh, yeah.
It's a nice thing to
It's a nice thing for
able,
them to
yeah,
do, even though it's
yeah,
a volunteer job where they
sure,
have to take off 2 or 3 weeks possibly in the summer. And then we have a few master gardeners
uh-huh,
and a few professors
like
of horticulture, yeah, like us. And the reason that I believe we're in the program is because they do have master gardeners in the Britain in Bloom and the Canadian program.
Well, that's good. That's good for the master gardener program, too,
right.
I think.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because so this is, and I know there's some communities right here in our local area that are involved or have been involved in that.
Yes, Amelia was involved in the program the first year that was in, mm-hmm, that American Bloom started. Silverton was in the program for 2 years. This year, Blanchester has joined the program, and they're going to be judged the beginning of July. As a matter of fact, Blanchester is having a garden competition this coming weekend.
Oh.
So, and also, the community that we're from, which is Mason, Ohio, has joined this year. So
oh,
we're
good,
really excited about that.
Yeah. So now, what's a community? What do you have to be in order to...
You can be a city, a town, or a township, actually. So a township can join. Also,
but you can't just be like a gated community like Landon or something.
No, you'd have to have your own local city or town council because we look at the municipality. And if you're just, let's say, something like Landon, where you're part of Deerfield Township, then you don't have your own separate municipal government because that is one of the things we look at.
Okay, so you have to be an
political
official
entity.
A political entity.
Right. Now, we have had a few, for example, Monroe County in New York, which Rochester is in the middle of Monroe County, and the county signed up, not the city of Rochester.
Okay, but that's a political entity,
so, right,
too.
And
so
actually, Hamilton County could sign up, even if Cincinnati does not.
Yeah,
so
but a homeowners association doesn't count
no,
as...
No.
Okay. What about... I think I've read where Chicago is involved.
Yes,
Chicago as a big city.
Won
Indianapolis.
The largest category. The first year, Indianapolis won the largest category. The second year,
yeah.
And
so they're judged in size categories.
Yes,
okay.
5,000 and under, and
okay,
5 to 10, and 10 to 15, etc., all the way up to
uh-huh,
1 million and above.
Okay. And has there been any interest on the part of Cincinnati?
Not that I am aware of. We know some people who are involved in Keep Cincinnati Beautiful who
yeah,
are trying to
promote
it to
yeah,
the city. But Columbus was involved, Indianapolis
yeah,
and Chicago. So
yeah,
I think Cincinnati should consider it. I
yeah,
think it would,
I would
be good
so,
for the community. Yeah,
yeah, sure would. You say it's good for the community. What are some of the benefits?
Well, community pride. There also is a reduction in things like vandalism and theft. It also makes the community more desirable for businesses or
yeah,
for people that there's want to move to a particular area. Because you're making, actually what you're doing is improving the quality of life for everyone.
It's the idea of curb appeal, I guess.
Right.
For
yeah,
for businesses, too.
Right.
Increase property values.
Yeah. Yeah.
If your town's more beautiful, everyone's property will go up in value.
Yeah, yeah. Well, last Monday on the show, we had Mary Ann Westendorf from the Civic Garden
okay,
Center talking about community gardens,
mm-hmm,
which is the same kind of thing that you're trying. I mean, the benefits are,
right,
are very similar, I'm sure. So
we're trying to generate that community spirit.
Yeah.
And when we travel in our travels as judges, it is so exciting to see that spirit, those community gardens. And we're looking for volunteerism as one of the criteria. So
yeah,
we're looking for that. That is, if everyone has their own beautiful private garden, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to see that civic pride and that community spirit.
Yeah.
Those are the communities that do best in the program.
Well, you know, there's some communities around Cincinnati, just from driving around, that are nicer looking than others. And I'm wondering why some of those aren't just, you know, participating too. Because I'm thinking of Blue Ash, for example.
I think it's just awareness. Because it's a new program, a lot of communities just aren't aware that it's available.
Yeah.
So that's why promoting it through programs like this is so important.
Well, good. I hope we have some listeners out there that will call their municipal city council or whoever. And
it's obvious that communities like Blue Ash and Montgomery would do very well in this type of program. But I also think it's exciting when communities like Blanchester join because they're trying to have a revitalization in their community. And this is a vehicle where they can get excited and work even a little bit harder on this revitalization, knowing they're going to be in this competition.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a deadline. The judges are coming on a certain date, and so everyone is excited, getting ready for that event.
Well, I've been living in Cincinnati for a lot of years, and I've noticed just in my garden shopping that you can drive forever before you get out to what I think of as the country. I mean, you know, that's where the new houses and everything are out in the in what used to be the country, and so cities like Blanchester and Miami Town and all those things, they've just kind of been incorporated in the greater Cincinnati area, I think, which is good, and they should participate. But now, an area like, for example, over the Rhine, now that's part of Cincinnati. And they couldn't do this in a part of a big city like that.
No, it would have to be the entire municipality of Cincinnati that's involved.
Okay, so they could do it in over the Rhine, but they would get judged with the million and over group or whatever.
Right. It would be within the city limits of Cincinnati.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me back up to the evaluation itself. There's a 1,000-point evaluation grid that we use.
Wow. Okay.
Each category has 125 points. And within that 125 points, we evaluate the municipality itself. We evaluate the business, retail, industrial community as a separate category. And then the third category is the residential areas. So you have to have the municipality involved in this program to do it at all.
Yeah.
So if, let's say, some master gardeners thought, well, let's join America in Bloom because we do a lot in the way of volunteerism, they still need to approach their municipal government and say, this is the program, and please get involved and support us, because it combines everything, not just what the residential folks are doing or the volunteers are doing.
Yeah.
So it's critical that the municipality is behind the program.
And what's neat about it, it's actually an umbrella for a lot of things that are already happening in the community. We haven't emphasized heritage that much here or environmental awareness. But those are also big categories in our judging. They're two of the criteria. So if there's a historical society and they're doing something in the community, any other kind of community involvement or environmental awareness, composting program, recycling, leaf pickup, chipping of wood, all of those things are considered too also.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's going to be hard for, I would think, for a big place like Cincinnati, because Cincinnati is such a motley collection of different little communities that are all doing their own thing.
Yes, but if you look at a community or a city like Chicago and see what they've done, and that city has continued to grow, where a lot of cities are losing population.
Yeah.
And more businesses are moving to Chicago because of the beautiful environment that they've created.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah. I think College Hill, I don't think that's partisan. I could be wrong, but I think they have their own little city council.
I think College Hill does. I don't.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of organizations in College Hill that deal with the businesses there and the garden club and
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Landfair Retirement Community is there,
right.
Which is an impact on that community, too. But that would seem to me to be a good prime target. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Phyllis Schoenberger is a master gardener, and she's very involved with that municipality. I'll have to put a bug in her ear.
Yes. Jack actually is speaking to Forest Park on
their beautification committee on Wednesday night.
Okay.
Wednesday
good
night.
For you. Good
and
for you.
Also, Wyoming has talked to us about
okay.
being
yeah.
involved.
Yeah, that's just right north. I'm in Hartwell, but that's the city,
mm-hmm.
so we can't do it. But Wyoming is certainly a possibility. Yeah.
And we sent some information to folks in Evendale. I'd love
oh, good.
To see. I'd love to see a half dozen communities in Cincinnati area be involved next year. I think it would be fun.
Oh, I think it'd be great. Right? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Now, you have this community, and they sign up for it, and then they run it. The community runs it. They get the resources, the funding, the volunteers.
Yes, the community signs up for the program. Then America in Bloom sends them a large packet of materials. Ideas of what other communities have done,
okay.
what their responsibilities are.
Yeah.
And their responsibilities, there are not that many, but the responsibilities are to take the 8 criteria and put down what they're doing in each area. So the
mm-hmm.
judges, when they come to town, will already have read this
okay.
and already have a feel or a sense of what the community is all about. The second thing they need to do is pay for the judges to get a hotel room for them for the two
okay.
nights that they'll be in town. The judges will arrive. They pick them up at the airport, bring them to the community, and the community gives the judges a guided tour.
Okay.
So the judges are not just driving around aimlessly. The community gives them a guided tour and shows them the 8 areas and shows them all the good things they're doing.
Okay. So
and the judges are continually taking notes during the 2 days that they're in town. And then at the end, they should be given at least 3 to 4 hours to fill out the evaluation.
Okay.
The reason they need 3 or 4 hours is not only to do the point scale, but the most important thing we feel about the program is the written evaluation that we give the community.
Yeah.
With their strengths and their areas where they could improve.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes a long time. That takes
yeah.
a tremendous
How
amount
many
of
judges
effort.
Would...
Two judges travel
two,
the country...
Okay.
and visit each community in that population category.
Okay. So those two judges kind of get their heads together and agree on
right,
a score.
They have to agree
and,
on the score.
And comments.
And the comments. And then there's an award ceremony that takes place in the fall, and we announce the winner in each population category.
Okay.
And then after the ceremony is over, the community actually receives the entire evaluation. They get the point score. They get
mm-hmm.
the written comments. The purpose for that is so they can take those comments and go back and think about it for the next year. And they don't have to do any of those things that were recommended, but they can certainly get some ideas from the judges.
Okay.
So that's part of the program.
So you try to get, I would assume you try to get reasonably close judges to judge a particular community. I mean, you wouldn't bring somebody
oh, no.
in from California to
oh,
judge
no.
Chicago?
No, that's
oh,
actually
yeah.
the opposite.
Yeah.
We would like to get,
oh, okay.
We have judges from Washington State and Florida. We'd love to bring them to Cincinnati to see. What we do is we have the judges with different levels of expertise.
Okay.
So, for example, for the large communities, we take our best judges, I guess, the people who are directors of botanical gardens,
mm-hmm.
the people who have the highest position, most respected, prestigious positions in their field, and they would go to Chicago and Boston
okay.
and
okay.
Indianapolis.
I see.
And then you'd have master gardeners probably going to the smallest communities.
Okay.
The under 5,000.
Yeah.
So we don't worry about whether or not the judges are from Northeast or from Arkansas or Wisconsin. We mm. take the best judges and have them travel to their category.
Okay.
And the judges are from all over the United States.
Okay.
Also, on this idea of competing and the evaluation grid and all that, I think that the greatest thing about the American Bloom program is that the community is competing against its own potential. So a potential for a small community of maybe 5,000 is not going to be the same as a the potential of a community like Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what makes this program unique and why it should be a considered a long-term program for a community, because they're constantly competing against their own potential.
Okay.
Another thing about that is, in your population category, you cannot really worry about the competition. For example, this year, we have a town called Vernal, Utah, that is involved in their population. I think it's 10 to 15,000. Vernal is on the eastern border of Utah with Colorado. Very dry in Vernal. And also in that same population category, there is Williston, Vermont. Now, up in Vermont, it's mm-hmm. probably lush and green and mm-hmm. wet and cool. So
a whole different plant.
A whole different place.
Sure.
But the judges are aware of that. And mm-hmm. when they go to Vernal, they're going to be judging it based on the conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And when they go to Vernal or to Williston, they'll do the same.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the judges are alert enough so that if the community has had a tough year, let's say it's been 95 degrees and dry, and things look burnt out, the judges are going to be aware of that and make appropriate adjustments in their scoring.
Yeah, okay. Well, that sounds pretty interesting. My experience has been that with gardening projects, that it's sometimes pretty easy to get a place built, you know, put in a new garden, but then nobody wants to maintain it.
Yes, that's a problem.
And I'm sure you folks have that experience,
well,
too.
Well, and of course, when the judges are in the town, we want to know, oh, do you have a community garden? Okay, who planted it? And then who maintains it? That's the question.
Yeah, do you normally judge in the summertime, spring, summer? Or?
Yes, we judge in the summer when the communities are actually at their best is when we try to go.
Okay.
So in the southern communities, we might visit in May or early June, and then in the northern communities, we'll go out and visit in July and maybe early August.
Okay. Okay, good. That's good. I think we'll take a little break right now. The time is 8:28. And you're listening to the Master Gardener Hour, the shortest hour in radio, with your host John Duke and Diane and Jack Klassen on WAIF Cincinnati, 88.3 FM. You can listen to the Master Gardener Hour here every Monday from 8 to 9 in the morning. I think Bibby's going to read a couple of public service announcements we'll just turn that over to you, Bibby. Glad to see you today.
Thanks, John. It's good to be here and fascinating to hear about American Bloom. Just a wonderful program.
Yeah.
And actually, our two public service announcements have a lot to do with that. The first one is definitely we all have problems when we have paint, things like that we need to get rid of. And if you have hazardous waste, you can call the Hamilton County's Household Hazardous Waste Hotline at 333-4700 to find out more about where and how you can safely reuse or recycle your hazardous products. The Hamilton County Department of Environmental Services has a list of locations that accept various types of household hazardous waste for reuse, recycling, or proper disposal. Again, that number of the Hamilton County Household Hazardous Waste Hotline is 333-4700. Also, John, currently, and I think this is fascinating, landowners may donate their agricultural easements to the Ohio Department of Agriculture, and you can receive federal tax benefits. Information on this is available at 614-466-2732. Again, that number is 614-466-2732 if landowners want to donate their agricultural easements to the Ohio Department of Agriculture.
Okay, thank you, Bibby. Before we get back to American Bloom, I want to just mention a couple of things. Some upcoming events this week that gardeners might be interested in. The Butterfly Show at Crone is still going on through June the 20th, and that's from 10 to 5. And if you're going to go, I suggest you wear a flowered shirt and some strong, sweet cologne, and the butterflies will just have a good time with you. Muller's Greenhouse over on Banning Road is having their pajama party on June 18th. This is kind of a wild event, I think. If you show up in pajamas to do your garden shopping, you'll get 25% off. And then another item here that's a little more sedate is the East Row Garden Club in Newport, Kentucky, has their 8th annual garden walk, and they're going to have garden tours and live music. It's going to be Saturday, June 26th, and Sunday, June 27th, from 10 to 4. Ticket sales are at Water Tower Square at 6th and Washington Avenue in Newport. And the last thing coming up here is really important, kind of fits in with what we're talking about today. The Civic Garden Center is hosting their 2004 Neighborhood Gardens Tour on Sunday, August the 1st. We'll meet at the Civic Garden Center at 2 p.m. for welcoming and refreshments, and then air-conditioned buses leave promptly at 2:30 and return at 5:30. We'll be visiting two of the newest gardens and one established favorite garden. We'll get to meet the community gardeners who can show you firsthand the benefits of community garden. You don't want to miss this tour, but you do need to call and make a reservation at the Civic Garden Center at 513-221-0981 by July 28th. All the proceeds from the tour go to the Civic Garden Center's award-winning neighborhood gardening program. All right, those are the upcoming events. I want to take just a few minutes and talk about the weather, because it's getting hot, which is what it's supposed to do. Summer's first day of summer's next Monday. We're going to celebrate that next week. And it's time to talk about phenology. Phenology is a science that deals with the influence of climate on such annual phenomena as plant and animal life, and when they bloom and when they bud and when animals migrate, and when pests in the garden emerge, and that kind of stuff. And there are certain biological things that are happening are based on the number of degree days that accumulate. Now, the degree days I'm talking about is different from the heating degree days and the cooling degree days. It's a similar calculation, but what it is, the garden degree days or the growing degree days is based on a base of 50 degrees. And so, for example, if the high is 85 and the low is 65 on a given day, the average temperature is 75, which is 25 degrees above 50 degrees. And so you would add 25 degree days on that day and just keep adding them up. Well, they found out that certain biological things happen based on the degree days. And this is where you've probably heard things like plant the lettuce and spinach and peas when the daffodils begin to bloom. You know, there's correlations there. Plant cucumbers and squash when the lilac flowers fade. Plant morning glories when the maple trees have full size. And it goes on like that. You can also determine when certain insects are going to emerge. Thing that you want to look at here, and there's a great website. It's the Ohio Agriculture Research and Development Center, and their webpage is www.oardc.ohio-state.edu/gdd. And when you get on that webpage, you enter your zip code in Ohio. It's got to be an Ohio zip code. This is an Ohio state thing. But if you live in Kentucky, you can pick a zip code up and across the river somewhere and probably be pretty close. Yesterday, in my zip code, we had accumulated 1,139 degree days. And if I look at that, I can anticipate that the pine needle scale eggs will begin to hatch, for example, at 1349, which is about a week away. Euonymus scale egg hatch comes at 1923 degree days, and so on. The banded ash clear wing borer comes up in 2195 degree days. So you can look at this periodically and then see what might be attacking your garden and be timely with your pest control. I noticed that One that we're coming up, it's about 4 days away now, is the golden rain tree is in full bloom. And we've got some on our street that are really looking pretty now. And the Rose of Sharon comes up at 1347, the first blooms. And I've noticed our Rose of Sharon has buds on it. So it kind of gives you a clue as to what to look out for. And that's kind of fun to track. And anyway, that's
could
my...
Could you repeat that website again?
Yeah. Yeah, it's www.ohio-state.edu/GDD. Okay? And I think that's kind of a fun thing to do. I plotted it last summer. I haven't started yet this year, but I think I will, just to see how. Because you see, when you get a real hot spell, you know, it'll kind of swoop up and then. Okay, let's get back to you folks talking about America in Bloom. You have a publication here, Planting Pride. How do you get on that mailing list?
Well, it is free. Now, I have to look inside there to see if there is a...
Is it on the back?
Oh, okay. I'll announce that here once we...
And speaking of websites, America in Bloom does have a website that you may want to visit. All of this information and more is on our website, which is www.americainbloom.org. www.americainbloom.org.
That's good. This is a nice little publication. A lot of pictures in it about communities that have won or entered. And they got some really nice garden pictures in here. You could get some good gardening ideas, landscaping ideas
right.
in here. Yeah.
It's called Planting Pride, Your Guide to Beautifying and Revitalizing Your Community. It comes out 4 times a year. It's free from America in Bloom. It's subsidized by Greenhouse Grower Magazine, so they're the ones who pay for it. And the website is delilah@greenhousegrower.com. So that's D-E-L-I-L-A-H at Greenhouse Grower. One word, Greenhouse Grower. Grower.com.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's good. I think maybe some people might want to get on that website and check it out and see about getting this magazine. It's a nice magazine. I guess you folks have sent it to me. So I've got accumulated several of them and enjoy it very much. I'd like to take a little music break, and I like patriotic music, and we'll play something that's appropriate for America in Bloom. We'll play America the Beautiful by, who's it by? Lee Greenwood, and his on his CD called American Patriot. So we'll take a little break and play that.
People for peaceful skies, for amber waves of grace, for
You guys were talking about a couple of interesting ideas. Bibby, if you want to talk about, I like what you said about bringing the color up front.
Well, I think we were talking during the playing of Lee Greenwood's song about the fact that Europe has embraced this whole idea of beautification so much, and that we're a little slower here in America. And one reason, I think, is we've been such a nation of backyard gardeners. We love to transform our backyards, but we've kind of, until the last maybe decade, been told, don't bring color into the front yard.
Yeah.
Keep your flowers in the back. And we seem to be moving forward. Diane was saying that a lot of people now are planting ground covers in the front so they don't have to mow as much, which, of course, is environmentally much better. But also, I think we are now beginning to realize, as Europe always has, that we need to bring that forward. We need to really share our gardens with people. And maybe that will get communities much more involved in something like this, because you can see it. You're not keeping it just to yourself.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Gardening is so therapeutic, too. So when people get out and they work in their yards, it's just wonderful for your mental health as well as your physical health.
Yeah, sure is. And there's a tremendous range of attitude, I think, in various communities. Some communities object to having perennials or wildflowers or things like that in the front yard because it looks like weeds, they think. You know, but but other people think that's okay. It's like the composting problem we have here. Some communities don't allow composting at all. Other communities will take your leaves and compost them and give them back to you. So I mean, there's a tremendous range there. Jack, you were commenting about how master gardeners might contribute to promotion of the American bloom.
Well, if you're a master gardener and you think America in Bloom would be a good idea, I would have to recommend that you start slowly in your community and try to find other people, let's say like a champion in the municipal government. If you know someone on city council, if you know someone who's the director of Parks and Rec, you have to talk to a few people like that and get the municipality involved. Then once you get the municipality excited about the idea, then you talk to other master gardeners and volunteer groups, and then you go back to the municipality and say, gee, look at what we're doing. We've got this group now that's interested in doing things. and then they perk up even more. So it has to be a give and take, going back and forth, but it's very important to get the municipal government behind the program.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really is, because I've been to some communities where the garden clubs have jumped all over this idea and they've signed up. But when the judges go to the communities, they score very badly. Now, the garden clubs do a great job, but the overall score is very bad because the scoring weighs fairly heavily on what the municipality is
doing. You gotta have the commitment at the top.
Right. Because you have to have the leadership there. Yeah. And like you say, a lot of these programs, like the composting type programs, they come from the municipality.
Yeah.
And so, things like tidiness and litter control, the whole attitude there.
The whole attitude, right.
Yeah.
Comes
well,
from
you know, one of my pet peeves, one of your criteria is urban forestry. And one of my pet peeves is, you know, urban forestry around here in Cincinnati keeps going out and planting trees underneath electric lines, and then they have to come back in a couple of 3 years and mangle them. And, you know, if the community leaders, city council, were involved in something like this, you know, they might put a little heat on urban forestry to say, don't plant those big trees under power lines anymore.
Do you know, it's interesting. It's a small community, Middlefield, Ohio, which I went to judge 2 years ago, and they have a big urban forestry committee they're involved in. And what they do, instead of planting the trees along the street in that right-of-way, they will plant a tree in the person's front yard.
Yeah, yeah.
So
Cincinnati did that a while back. They gave some trees away to people, and you had to plant them within 30 feet, I think, of the street.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a couple of nice trees for our yard and did that with. And they're doing great.
It makes sense.
Yeah, it really does. And I don't mean to be bashing urban forestry. I know some of those folks. They're nice people. But
it depends on the type of tree that you plant too, because out in Mason, I'm the chairman of the Mason Tree Committee, we are planting smaller trees in the areas where there are power lines.
Right.
So there's not going to be a conflict.
Yeah. Well, that's the way to go.
There is an awareness of what a tree will, what the typical size will be once it matures. So
it should be.
I understand.
The urban forestry folks are knowledgeable.
Well, and the municipality might be going with the lowest bid.
Yeah. Yeah,
because the landscaping companies that bid on these contracts are saying, let's put ash trees everywhere.
Yeah, they don't care. Yeah.
And rather than putting a crab apple or something that's going to be more mid-size under the wires. So, I mean, it just, I'm dumbfounded when I see that.
I've got red maples underneath the wires on my street.
Mm-hmm.
And they redid the street a few years ago, and they haven't been through to mangle them yet, but they're getting close, you know.
Yeah,
but the other thing they did, I noticed the trees didn't look good. They were kind of chlorotic. The leaves were kind of yellow. Mm-hmm. And so I checked the soil pH, and it was 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a magnesium deficiency there on the red maple, you know. And I've been trying to lower the pH in the soil, but you know how tough that is.
It's real hard.
And you know, if you think about red maples, this is not a place where red maples are supposed to be growing. We love them, they're beautiful, but they really want to be in Vermont.
Yeah.
You know, where it's cool, where the pH is right, where they're getting more rain. They don't want to be in a drought condition along the highway in Cincinnati.
Right, right. Well,
and there are
the
other
clay.
Trees.
They don't like our clay.
They don't
either.
Like clay.
Yeah.
It would be better to have more native species considered.
Another thing master gardeners could do is, again, with the cooperation with the municipality, is do something such as a beautification contest, a local contest. Residential or business,
mm-hmm.
And we're starting something like that in Mason this year, which is called Nominate Your Neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a front yard beautification contest.
Yeah.
We're going to have local judges, and people can nominate their neighbor. They can go on our website, which we've developed, called Mason in Bloom.
Uh-huh.
Or they could call a phone number and nominate their neighbor that way.
Well,
and, so go ahead.
Yeah, this thing I was talking about earlier for the events over here in Newport, that garden walk is, I've been on that before. It's wonderful. Those gardens and those beautiful old homes, I mean, it is something else. And now that's a community that could qualify, I'm sure.
Certainly.
Well, here's an interesting question. I asked a number of large greenhouse growers a question recently. What percentage of people have color in their front yard? Color meaning some sort of flower.
Yeah.
And they sat there and they couldn't figure it out. And they said, well, I don't know, 20% maybe.
Hmm.
Okay. Now, in the travels I've had judging, one thing we do is we're supposed to look at 80% of the community. So that means that we drive up and down residential streets for hours looking at the landscaping, the urban forestry, we look at the turf, and we look at the floral arrangements as we're driving up and down these streets. So what I have a tendency to do is just look at a house and get a sense of the landscaping, but in the back of my mind, I'm looking at, is there color?
Mm-hmm.
And so I go down the street, and most communities have less than 50% color.
Mm-hmm.
50% of the houses have any type of, even a little planter on the steps.
Mm.
Less than 50%. There was one community I was judging in Canada, a small town, mainly senior citizens. It was not a wealthy community. But that community was surprising because I would say 70% of the people had color in their front yard.
Mm-hmm.
And it was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
And it didn't have to be huge beds, but it was just beautiful to see that. And that's the most I've ever seen, 70%.
Well, that's pretty high.
You know, or hanging basket, anything.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the things that Amy and I have experienced on our street since we really started gardening big time is that it's contagious. The neighbors start doing it too. And I don't know that we've got 70%, but you know, a lot of our neighbors have color. So.
And that makes the street more attractive.
Oh, yeah.
A nicer place to live.
Right, right. Okay. I want to just mention that we're kind of getting close to the end. It's about 7 minutes to go. My guest next week is going to be Dr. Gregory Dollum from NKU to talk about mosquitoes and the West Nile virus and other insects that pose a danger to gardeners. Dr. Dollum is very interesting. He's an entomologist, and he had people really fascinated with his display at Bugfest a couple of weeks ago. I'll save that for next week to talk about. But he's a Diptera entomologist, which is basically flies. And he's got a fly collection that's just amazing. So tune in next week to learn all about the bugs in your garden. And did you know that WAIF depends on you, our listeners, for financial support? We're an all-volunteer, non-profit community radio station. For only $15, you can become a member of WAIF FM. You can join on the webpage at www.waif883.org. All programs are archived on that webpage for up to 96 hours. When you get onto that web page and you want to listen to a given program, like this program, if you wanted to listen to it. This program is from 8 to 9, so you would click on Listen at Monday at 9 a.m. because it's the end of the program when they archive it. And I want to thank our underwriter again. Today's show is brought to you in part by Green Space, a gallery for the garden located inside Urban Eden, a little bit of paradise, and Over the Rhine. These two wonderful shops for furnishings inside your home and now inside your garden are open Wednesday through Saturday, noon to 6 p.m. Come visit and catch the new cicada table coverings from Provence, France, and view this month's feature artist, Bates Webster, with her metal sculpture for the garden. The Green Space grand opening will take place at this month's final Friday gallery walk on North Main Street, June 25th, from 6 until 10 p.m. Urban Eden and Green Space are located at 1313 Main Street in downtown Cincinnati. Their phone numbers are 513-624-0333 or 513-621-3336. Okay. Do you have anything, final thoughts to add?
Well, I would like to say that this America in Bloom program is an excellent program. Mm-hmm. It is based on very successful and popular programs that have been in existence for 50 years. And there's tremendous potential here. And I recommend that people talk to their community and get their community involved. And even if the community does not join this year, they can join next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really racked my brain to think if there's a downside to this program, and I just have not been able to come up with one.
Yeah.
It's great for energizing the entire community and making the quality of life in your community better.
Yeah. Okay. Diane, anything?
I'll just have to second what Jack said. Every place that I've been has just embraced this program and felt that it was wonderful, and it really brought everyone together and made people happier that they live in the community that they live in and prouder of their communities.
Well, that's great. That's a good endorsement. Bibby, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you so much, John. This has been fun and wonderful to hear about America in Bloom.
Okay, thank you. It is now 8:57 and a half, and you're listening to WAIF Cincinnati 88.3, and I think it's time that we head on out. This has been the Master Gardener Hour with John Duke, your host. You can listen to the Master Gardener Hour every Monday morning this summer from 8 to 9 a.m. on WAIF Cincinnati 88.3 FM. All we ask is 1 hour a week. We welcome your comments and suggestions, so please send a note to WAIF, 1434 East McMillan Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45206, in care of the Master Gardener Hour. I'll be back next Monday with my guest, Dr. Gregory Dalham, and we'll hear all about insects. It's only 167 hours from now, so make them count. Take care of yourself. Your garden needs you, and thank you for listening.